Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Holy tech earnings, Batman. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanin. That'll be the theme of the morning, obviously. We've got Apple. We've got Microsoft. We've got Alphabet. We've got AMD. We've got Facebook tonight. So a lot to get to. We've got Amazon tomorrow. A lot to get to on the earnings front. The parade is in full swing. We'll talk a little bit about Bitcoin. The top of my movers tool this morning, my upfilter in Benzinga Pro, it is all Bitcoin stocks and Chinese stocks. So take that for what it's worth. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you. Guest today, Sean Udall, will join the show at 8:35. He is the CIO of Quantum Trading Strategies. And then at 9, I'll be joined by Connor O'Brien, the president and CEO of Beanstocks, which is the robo-advising app that is backed by Kevin O'Leary. Let's go to the charts and go to the markets here. Joel, good morning. How are you doing? How are we doing this morning?
Is it better? Doing good on this Wednesday morning.
Okay. Apple, Q3 EPS, $1.30 versus $1 estimate. Sales, 81.4 versus 72.9 billion. Like I said, every segment beat on revenue. So iPhone beat, services beat, Mac beat, iPad beat. And we were asked, the question around Apple for so many years was, well, will they be able to diversify away from the iPhone? And if you look at a chart of iPhone of Apple's of the iPhone revenue as a percentage of Apple's overall revenue, it's been going down for the last several years. Services has been increasing. That's been the growth area, and so the story hasn't changed. This company just continues to just blow it away every single quarter. I think we can nitpick all we want in all of these stocks, frankly, but the numbers were amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, just look at your chart on your upper right. They broke out of that 20-some day trading range at 128. And then you smartly added on 20 points and hit a brick wall at 150. It was almost the feeling with Apple, just the way it acted yesterday. That's like people were going to sell no matter what. It just kind of, if it would have been a bad report, they might have sold it off. Great report. They'll look for any kind of negative. But what I'm so much looking at the pre-market levels, you slipped under 143. I will give you the after hours low. That comes in at 142.50. Not much on the dailies there, except the 142.96 level. But you're smartly above that, and you're kind of bid. So this is what I'm going to look at. And I'm going to give a day, and then I'm going to give a little bit longer term outlook. 146.77. That's the close, right? So that's your first hurdle on the upside, and then pair of closes 148.56 and 148.99. That 148.99 represents the all time closing high. So we'll see what happens at 46.67. Also at that all time closing high, and then you got the 150. So if this is the buy, right? Yeah. I think we're going to clear. We should clear 150 soon and just put this report in the rear view mirror and, just continue. You had the run up in the earnings. Earnings are good. Guidance not great. Apple has historically sold off after some of these good earnings reports. So let it ferret out. Let's see if you could clear 150 and beyond. If not, then I'd see continued profit taking in Apple.
I mean, I think a lot of times we are so short-term focused and then focused on, what's the market going to do? Well, the market will do what it wants to do regardless. But like looking at longer term, it's impossible to take anything away other than this company just continues to fire on all.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. What do you have? I got an iWatch. I got an iPhone.
I'm with you. A few years ago, I had one Apple product. I had an iPhone. Now I have an iPhone, an iPad that I basically never use. I've got the watch. I've got the Mac. I've got the AirPods. I've got everything.
I got the AirPods too.
Yeah,
AirPods. Yeah, I have those too. But you know what? I'm a PC guy. I mean, I got my Dell. I mean, I'm just Dell. I'm just wedded to Dell for some reason. I just can't, you know, with the operating system. So, great products. That's about all we can say about Apple. Yep. Traded down to $117, $145.60. So you have your setups there. Clearing 150 is huge, and we know there was all kinds of size up there as well when it traded up there.
And just the note on the Apple post earnings.
Ivan pointed out too, there was just a mound of sellers there. So keep an eye on the book. Sometimes the book can be helpful.
Yeah. And with regards to the earnings reactions in Apple, at least going back the last 3 years, the stock is pretty mixed after earnings. It really is almost as likely to trade higher as it is likely to trade lower in the 2 days, 3 days, and 1 week and 2 week periods after it reports. So reaction is not always positive, but you know, in the long term, this company is a monster. Let's move on to Google.
No, I just want to say one thing. Yeah. Brock N here, I think, is new to the chat.
Okay.
Apple uses planned obsolescence.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And boy, you know what? That's an old term, Brock. You might be up there in my age. I think I maybe used that term in one of my papers in college when talking about military tactics for the Vietnam War. I really do. I don't still have the paper, but I remember that term. But
I mean, of course they do, and it works. So I put it this way: I bought a new laptop Black Friday of 2019, and it's pissing me off. It is
really.
It is not. I bought like a MacBook Air. It is not performing well. And I'm very annoyed about it, but what am I going to, like, my hands are kind of tied. I guess I could buy a Windows, but,
you know what? I tried the, I do have a Surface and I hardly use it. I mean, cause it's like, my shoulders get tired.
Yeah. I hear you.
Typing on that thing. And I thought I could use it for travel and stuff, but
anyway. Now you don't travel.
So what do I need? I don't even know where it's. I should look for that puppy. But anyways, all right. Let's go on to Mr. Softy. This was some trading action.
Yeah, this was interesting. They came out. The numbers were good. Of course, the numbers are always good, right? Seemingly. $2.17 EPS versus $1.90 estimate. Sales of 46.2 versus $44.1 billion. They gave some guidance during the call that I guess was strong. Talked a lot about cloud growth, which is, of course, their big growth segment right now. Azure revenue growth came in. That's Azure as their cloud. Came in at 45% year over year, which I guess was a little bit light. But still, 45% year over year is let's come on now. We're splitting hairs. It's really good. What else did they say? Business processes revenue came in above estimates. I said cloud was a smidge light. They expect the cloud growth to remain relatively stable sequentially. Personal computing revenue came in line with estimates. This one was a mover after hours for sure.
It was huge. It spiked to 292. People are ignoring those mound of sellers at 290, similar to the 150 level in Apple. Big old. I'm going to throw out the high. I'm going to throw out the low. And I'm just going to focus on this once again, this 290 level. Forget these pre-market bursts over 290. Settling in here at 289.50, that they may very well have cleared out the sellers there, because you have popped through there on several occasions after hours and pre-market. But to me, this whole 290, 292 area, it just seems thick, loaded with sellers. So if you're looking to take profits, make sure you take out the 290, you rip through the 291 handle and up to 292. Someone said 300 by the end of the year. I mean, why the heck not? It's come this far, this fast. On the downside here, after being up or after being down and being up, it adds significance to the closing price from yesterday. And that closing price from yesterday in Mr. Softy comes in at 86.54. That's a ways away. I'll look at that as support. All-time closing high, 89.67.
All right, let's go to Alphabet, the company that for my own sanity, should just do a stock split because their EPS was $27.26.
Jeez, Murphy.
First, a $19.21 estimate. Sales, just under $62 billion versus a $56 billion estimate there. So, like I said, just printing money. How's this for growth? YouTube revenue growth up 70%. 70% for a 15-year-old product. This is amazing, right? 70% growth for a product that's 15 to 16 years old. It's madness, right? Cloud revenue came in higher as well, 4.6 versus $4.3 billion. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
What about your Google neighborhood? You still sticking with that?
Oh, yes. I still stand by that theory that in the not too distant future, you will have entire subdivisions that are Apple subdivisions or Alpha or Google subdivisions or Amazon subdivisions, and all the smart houses will be powered by one company across the entire division. I stand by that theory.
Roberto Wilco mentioning they bought that YouTube for $1 billion, right?
Yeah.
And how much did they make from it in the quarter?
I don't have the exact.
You know, break it down like that, but well, yo.
You find it real fast.
I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but I will. And now I'm just looking at this 2,800. Two highs in that area.
You
did pop up to 2,820. So jot these down, folks. You know, 2,800 in Google. I'm not sure where it's with the L.
Okay.
290 in Microsoft and 150 in Apple.
$7 billion is what YouTube.
In one quarter.
In one quarter. Unreal, right?
Yep. Big run. I mean, let's just see the run continue in these things. S&P's at all-time highs. These at or near all-time highs. I mean, this is such an unprecedented move for Google that this year. I mean, you look at your monthly chart down there, and the monthlies just don't look like that. Look at the years, you know, on a relative basis, how this thing has moved, and then it's what it's done this year. So you got the – look at that. I mean, it just looks like a nothing muffin there, even though it went from 500 to 1,000. So it's having a great year. It can continue when it takes out 2,800.
All right, let's move away just for a second from last night and look ahead to tonight and look at Facebook here. Only because I would presume that Google blowing it away and Snapchat blowing it away and Twitter blowing it away, those are Facebook's three biggest peers in terms of how they make their money, right? And you would have to think now that the bar, not only is Facebook in an uptrend, but based on what their three peers did last quarter, the bar for Facebook is now unbelievably high. Now, it doesn't mean they can't
clear the bar,
right? But like the bar for Facebook tonight is got to be really, really high, higher than I can ever remember, probably.
375.33, that's your all-time high. You bumped up it against it a few times, actually hit 375 this morning. So there you go. I'm just coming up with resistance levels, folks, because, you know, these things have just had so far runs. If they have a bad report, it's hard, or they miss, or they say something, it's really hard to figure out where it's going to stop on the downside. Anybody that's short these things on a pullback is going to be throwing bids out there at just random levels. So a lot of different factors going into it. So you have the all-time high, 75.33, what we'll focus on, and then the all-time closing high, which you're above today at that is 372.46. So that's what you're looking at for setups in Facebook. And they haven't even got full blown with that Oculus thing, right? Have they?
No,
VR?
I'm still waiting for the metaverse to come around. I'm waiting for that.
Someone said to me, and I wish I had marked the date on this conversation and just went all in Facebook because, and I'm sure you've heard this from other people, that eventually, you know, like, I love going to concerts, right?
Yeah.
But now people, you know, not going to, you know, concerts, there's different risks associated, at least in the short term here. So why not if you want to, you know, see, Thomas Rhett or Luke Bryan or Dierks. Go to I know it's not the same thing, but well, you know, this VR, and I haven't had them on. Have you ever had any of these VR things on?
No,
where, you know, but basically there is a concert and you don't feel like dealing with parking. You want to have a time. I mean, to me, it's a poor substitute for going there or a football game or anything. And then they sell it. So Michigan holds 100,000, 105,000. They're not going to get it, but how many people will put on their, you know, their whatever VR thing and be at, you know, get 50 yard line seats for $5. I mean, that's the way things are going. And he talked about that. And also, he mentioned that same in that same vein, Zoom trying to work up to those things. Sunday, I am a classic rock guy. Little conversion over the last few years because there's just no rock out. Not it's just either. How does Joel know Thomas Rhett? It's because... I love rock and roll, grew up on rock and roll. I some Pink Floyd, but more, you know, the Who, the Stones, you know, the Beatles, ZZ Top, Leonard Skinner. And then all of a sudden, who's a rock and roll now? So a lot of these country guys are rock and roll, in my opinion. And I mean, there was a while back where Lisa and I were going to these concerts. I don't know, every couple months. Great male to female ratio at those concerts too. So many more females than males. It's unbelievable. So
with regards to the metaverse, I mean, it wouldn't shock me for a moment if the technology gets to the point where that becomes a better experience. I mean, you can make the argument right now.
Led Zeppelin too.
You can make the case right now that watching a game at home on TV is better in a lot of ways than going to the game. It's easier. It's sometimes easier to, you don't always know what's going on when you're in the stands. If there's no like PA announcement, it's hard to follow. You don't got to deal with weather or people or traffic or all that stuff. The metaverse is coming. I don't know when, but it is coming. And can you even just try to imagine the possibilities from like a business standpoint for like, you've got the real world and you got the virtual world and
I'm telling you the virtual, I mean, there's good. And what's the production cost? You know, you could get a trillion, you know, a million people watching something. Did I ever tell you my Led Zeppelin ticket story or should I save that for when Dennis is back?
This isn't the one that involved you going to Ohio, right? No, that was like a Michigan game. I think that was something different.
No. Real quick, Zeppelin was coming into Detroit my senior year of high school. And back then, this is a long time ago, the way you get, they did different ways of getting tickets. So the way they decided to do the tickets was they were going to put the information in the morning free press. Okay. How to get the ticket information. So my brilliant father, may he rest in peace, said, hey, you know, I think I had a test the next day. I could do it. So he goes, let's go get a money order at the post office and then have your buddies drive up to the free press building. And then when the trucks leave at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., get the newspaper and then go to the post office. So my buddies went up there. The free press truck came out. They got the information. We did the maximum amount of tickets and we were. So when other people were getting the information, because it was a first come, first serve basis, when other people were getting the information, we were already mailing it in.
Yeah.
So we knew we were going to get great tickets. And then I come out of school about 3 days later, and one of my buddies is sitting in the car that I was going to get tickets with, and he's like, he's just in shock. And I'm like, what's going on? He goes, Bonham died. John Bonzo Bonham died, and they canceled the concert. And I had to wait. And they said they were going to send the tickets back in the order that they got them. It took me months to get the money back from that. So I would have saw Zeppelin. I would have had good tickets, but unfortunately,
that story had a sad ending.
I know, and so I never got to see Zeppelin. Right. And I got stuck in traffic on the way to Woodstock. But anyways, let's get back to issues.
All right. Real quick, someone in chat, and I don't remember who now, but someone did say that my theory about the tech subdivisions is already happening in Silicon Valley. So it's reality. Let's talk about AMD here. And we can't forget about them. They also reported last night. EPS beat 63 cents versus 54 cents. Sales also beat $3.85 billion versus $3.62 billion. They gave Q3 sales guidance above estimates in the low $4 billion range versus a high $3 billion estimate. And it was, again, it was mostly good quarter, and the guidance was good. The gross margins were good. It was all good, it seemed like.
Yeah, I do not know why my AMD here is and now I just messed up my other chart here.
Whoa.
I don't have the I'll get rid of that in 1 second. I don't have the pre-market highs and lows, 93.59, but I'm just going to stick with the dailies here. And that whole area, if it got up anywhere near 94.5, or 95, 95 and a half, that's been big resistance. After being green so much, do not want to see it go red on the session.
Pre-market high is 93.96.
Okay.
So
follow through for that. It's just that area. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You can see it on the dailies. It's just a huge area.
Okay. It is 8. Oh, third. Let's keep going on the earnings. Let's do Spotify. This one is a little bit disappointing here this morning. Let me get my numbers up. Or Joel gets his charts up on Spotify.
I got it. Spotify is working for some reason.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's weird. Spotify. They added fewer users than expected. They added 9 million users last quarter. That brought their grand total to 365 million versus a 372 million user estimate. They also guided a little bit light as far as users for the current quarter, or users as of the end of the current quarter. That was a light guide as well. So they're saying we're not going to add as many users this time around as the market thought. Talked a lot about India and slow growth in some of their emerging markets there. And they had, I guess they'd warned about this previously, but it's unfortunate that we don't really have anybody to compare this to, because Apple has not given an update on their Apple Music subscribers in like 2 years. So we don't really have anybody to compare Spotify to in terms of growth. They're sort of on an island, unfortunately, in terms of user growth, at least. But what's the stock doing this morning?
It's down, step down, seller. Do you know how many listeners we have on Spotify?
More than we used to. We actually haven't checked in a little bit, but more than we used to.
I don't know what these stats mean, but we get people listen to us on Spotify. I think a few people have come from Spotify to hear. Step down seller right now, folks. Someone wants out and they want out bad. I can't tell you that this is one of the pre-market charts where, hey, you know, you're gonna, you know, you got someone stepping up to the plate. Now you don't know when that's gonna happen. You're coming into an area, you're down 9 sticks already. There's a gap to fill in here, but we're not even at the top of the gap yet. So maybe today or tomorrow, if this selling continues, you had a low at 23.52. That was on the 20th, and the prior day's high was 20.88. So not yet. But I think it should thicken up in the lower 220 handle, see if you get a gap fill. Obviously, you don't want to see this 211.10 breach. That was the low of the move. But right now, I don't even know. Did you get a pop on this at all? Yeah, you did. Man, why would someone take this up off the close, off those numbers? Or probably the numbers came out then the user growth. But like it closer to 220, there's someone selling. They're selling now, and they might let up a little bit, give it a couple buck pop, but trading at the lows of the pre-market session. Make sure you check that low at 929 and 59 seconds. See if it like bumps up from that or how it opens in that area. But that's what I'm looking. A lot of competition for Spotify, right? You know, app. There's just a lot out there. See what happens today.
There is a lot. I mean, they compete with Google to some extent, Apple to a greater extent. But again, Apple hasn't updated their Apple Music subscriber numbers in 2 years, so we don't really have any clue We can't really compare Spotify's growth rate to anybody because there is nobody else, really, I think, besides Apple Music. So Pandora is, I think, gone at this point. Or
Pandora.
Who bought Pandora? Was it Sirius? I think it was Sirius bought Pandora. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, say that a music thing, though. Someone, I do like the Doors, too. Someone mentioned the Doors in there. So I don't want to leave out Jim Morrison. He's probably listening to the show right now.
Someone mentioned, Joel, you know what you should have done is not given back those tickets.
And kept them.
That's called an appreciating asset. That's an alternative asset class right there.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. I don't know. It was a couple hundred bones back then. So
they should have been NFTs, man.
I know.
If they were NFTs, you would have still had them, Joel. You could have resold them right now.
I know. Oh man,
that's the future.
It wasn't even the internet back then, Mitch.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the internet. It was years before the internet.
The internet was around. It just wasn't public yet.
I don't think. In 1980, 1981?
Yeah, of course it was around.
Intranet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Intranet, ARPANET, it was around. It just wasn't public yet, but certainly it was around. Okay, let's do one more before Sean comes on. It seems like a bit of a reopening earnings trade this morning because you get company stocks like Boeing trading higher. They return to profitability. And on the other side of stock like Teladoc, TDOC is trading lower. Their numbers were seemed okay to me, but they're going in opposite directions here this morning. Boeing up, Teladoc down. I guess that tells me reopening is on for the moment today.
Okay.
I'll give you the Boeing numbers. Boeing, like I said, return to profitability, 40-cent EPS versus an estimate of a 2-cent loss. Sales missed a little bit, but hey, profitable, right?
Profitable on its way back up. 236, you backed off. You're at 234. So I'll say a little price discovery there. I'll use 236 as an intermediate level. A gap fill to here, I would say for me, being up on the day, coming off that 205 low, I'll look at this this gap fill as a possibility today. 236.46 was the bottom of you got a gap up to 236.46. And if you're really looking for some more, you get out that 236. Pair of highs just over 240. Boom, right there, making a trio of highs over right at 240. So there's my three-star resistance. If, in fact, you can get through the pre-market high. Always important to get through the pre-market high. Something like Boeing up 11, 12 bucks. I mean, you might have had people, you know, fishing on the weeklies last Monday, last Tuesday, anticipation of a good report. They could have something really steep in the money here now, like a 225 call that was looking pretty punk, you know, yesterday, probably up from where you bought it. Now, boom, it goes from closing 3 points out of the money until 12 points in the money. And now, and if you think about it, it's Wednesday, right? If you, this is just a hypothetical situation, you know, you could sell that 225 call right now when it's at 235 for a price that the stock could on Friday could be at 237, 238. And you might not even get the same premium on it. So that's just something to keep an eye on. But really like the 240 area as resistance.
All right. Shout out to Dave Penny, who had the comment about keeping your ticket, Joel. Let's bring on our first.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I would have known that, you know, 30 years ago. But anyways.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.